Okay, we're continuing in the Rambam Hilchos Gzeil of Aveda Perk Dalet Halacha Yud in the Mosnayim Texas, page 268 and 269. Yesterday we ended off with a case of a person who five people claim he stole from them, and he says, "I don't know. I know I stole from somebody, but I don't know who I stole from." Even though there weren't any witnesses, what did we say? Each one of them people make an oath, and he has to pay each one. Although normally we do for takanas hashavim, but not over here. Here it's a knas for the gazlan because he sinned by stealing, and he's got to pay something. And if he doesn't pay, there's no takana. So, but according to the Torah, he wouldn't have to pay. But it's a takanas, it's a knas that he has to pay. It's now cases that are similar but have yet differences. Yud, Amar Lishnaim, the gazlan himself volunteers the information and goes over to two people. And he says, "Kozalti echad mikem, I stole from one of the two of you, or O aviv shel echad mikem, or I stole from one of the two of your fathers, and your fathers died, or they're not present to lodge any kind of a claim. But for any of those, I don't know which one of the two of you I stole from." Now, and these guys, they don't know nothing. They don't know nothing. So now, what's the halacha? If he wants to fulfill the heavenly obligation beyond the letter of the law, but it's not obligatory, you have to pay back the gzela to each of both of them, since he's not sure. But according to the law, he really only has to give back one gzela. He gives whatever the value of whatever he stole was. And what happens? And then they divide it up amongst the two of themselves. Whatever. They divide it up 50-50. Why? Why is this different than the case before where each one swears and has to give everybody what they claim? And here he doesn't. This doesn't happen. So Ram explains. In this case, neither one of them knows that it was stolen. He's coming, he's volunteering information. And in that case, when the guy is coming for and volunteering, the rabbis wouldn't give a knas, a fine, to a guy who's willfully coming, and more than that, and there's no one making a claim anyway. So, which is in contrast to the previous halacha, where the plaintiffs, the five people, they are lodging the complaint to him. And he says, "I know I stole from you, but I don't know more." Well, in that case, we fine him. But here, he's the one volunteering, so a good guy like him, I mean, he's not a good guy, I mean, he's a gazlan, but he's coming forth and volunteering and admitting and saying and this and that. He could have just gone to one guy and said, "I owe you," and that's it, but he genuinely wants to be better. So, according to the law, he only pays half. But really, to fulfill God's deepest requirements, well, really, you don't know who you stole it from. And if you only give, you give to the wrong guy, it ain't gonna help.
He stole
you give to half, you're only paying half, and you're the one who acknowledges that you did steal, so then, the highest level would be to pay to both, but we don't enforce that.
So, Rabbi, when we distinguish both cases, we've given two reasons. Is one of the reasons is distinguished? Is it because he's coming forward as opposed to being accused? Or is it because...
Well, it's one is the opposite of the other. Or what's the other difference?
Well, in one, the people are claiming, and the other, they don't even know.
Yeah, so it's well, listen, we have to have one of the two to make a case. So it's really one issue. Is he coming forth or are they claiming? So it's really one issue. You're going to have one or the other. Okay, Yud Aleph. Similar types of cases. Hatoines chaver v'omalo gizaltani mea. A guy goes over to a guy and says, "You stole from me $100. So now we're going now just resorting to classic simple cases now. Imar, the guy says, "Lo gazalti, I didn't steal." Finished. There's no witnesses, no nothing. So what's the law? Nishba Shvus Heses. He makes a rabbinic oath.
Right.
A rabbinic oath.
That's the
Kedin Kol Nitba. Like any case where a guy makes a claim without any substantiation to the claim. Again, biblical law, when a defendant denies entirely a claim that's lodged against him, we dismiss it and there's no oaths made. Why do I have to make an oath? Just because you say something? There's nothing behind that. The rationale that they say is because if the guy really did own the money, he wouldn't be such a liar. If he didn't owe him anything, he wouldn't deny the thing totally, right? However, that's biblically. But the rabbi saw that the moral standards of the people has gone into a decline, and the truth is they see people will lie totally to the face. So in that case, they said, "Listen, we're going to make him make a rabbinic oath already that, you know, you're already saying God's name over here. That's a little bit more serious, and that would curb any dishonesty over there." As well, there's another point. The fact is, so why do we give any credence to the guy's complaint at all? Let's look at the other side now. What about the guy who's making the claim? Why should we say that? So they have a rule. They say, chazaka, we have an assumption. A person wouldn't claim unless he's got a reason to claim against him. So that works, again, on a rabbinic level we employ this, but certainly not on a biblical level. So that's the Shavuos Hesed. It's a rabbinic so light, you don't even have to hold on to a Torah or anything. You just make the oath. However, the guy says, you stole 50. The guy says, I'll tell you what, I admit I stole 50, but I didn't steal 100. So that is, Mishal, he pays. Vinish b'shuas ha-Torah, you make a biblical oath, al ashar, on the rest. And this is what we call the classical case of mod de b'miksas. You admit part, and that's exactly the case that the Torah says. And there you have to hold on to a safer Torah or something like that. And you make the oath in that case. Kidin kol moedah b'miksas. That's the case of every case of moedah b'miksas, partial confession. And why is he allowed to swear, though he's a goslin? Why do we let him swear? But the answer is, shalohuchsa goslin b'edim. He wasn't established as a goslin through witnesses. Witnesses didn't say he's a goslin. He said he's a goslin.
But hasn't he done partial tshuva by admitting to it and then giving the money back?
So that's partial. So what's the problem?
So he's not really a goslin.
It's more than that. So let's explain. So let's explain the rationale over here. So the footnotes are very good. 30 and 31, very good footnotes over here. He says, why do we make the guy swear? Why do we make him pay half and swear? Because we suspect that maybe the person really owns the whole amount and he's just delaying. Maybe he doesn't have the money right now. So to verify that, we make him swear. But the fact is we do let him swear. Now why do we let him swear? Because it's not definitely established he's a robber. We don't have witnesses. But let's think about this. Why do we let him swear? Didn't he admit that he's a ganif? He admitted he's a goslin. If he admits he's a goslin, he shouldn't be allowed to swear. So we have a rule, a very famous Talmudic principle. Then ein adam mat meisis atzmo l'rasha. A person can't make himself a wicked person. In other words, whatever you say about yourself, we can't, we'll assume part, but not everything. We don't let a person ever say he's a Russia. Well, he's basically saying, I'm a Russia. We don't allow a person to say, maybe he's in a bad mood that day. He's depressed. I'm a bum. But I do want to pay him $50, you know. So we accept the money, but we don't accept his testimony saying he's a Russia. We don't allow that to happen. Right? Let's just, a guy says, I murdered somebody, kill me. We don't listen to that. Certain things we don't accept. Things that don't make him a Russia will accept. Paying $50 is a nice thing, but to say a Russia, that we don't accept. And therefore, his oath is still being able to be made. Okay. And now, let's apply this Motivix's case maybe in other areas, perhaps. Let's say a guy claims, you went into my house and you stole some utensils. Former, he says, listen, I agree I went in your house and I agree I took utensils. But what the difference is, I took the collateral that you owe me. Now, we know you're really not allowed to do that. Even if it's yours, you're not allowed to just go in and take it. That itself, we already learned in the Rambam, that is an act of gezeila.
Right, exactly.
So he is saying that he is admitting, partially, he's admitting he went into the house without permission and took something. But the owner is saying, you took something that belonged to me. And the other guy is saying, no, I only took a collateral. But then the Baba said, wait a minute, Baba my summer, ain't look up here to claim. I don't owe you nothing. That wasn't a collateral. Okay, now what are we going to do?
Oh boy.
So now, even though the guy admits that I took the collateral without permission, he's admitting part of it. He is admitting he took something. And there's no witnesses that said he really stole. So it's just one word against another guy's word. What do? He nishba, he swears that it was a mashkin that I took. And he could collect the debt from the collateral. In other words, he could say, if I swear that this was a collateral, now you're right, I'm a goslin for doing it, but I took what was rightfully mine, and that's what I want to have. Why? And that's the law. So why? So the Rambam says a very interesting logic, a famous rule, Shahapesha Osar, hu apesha hiter. The very same mouth that admitted to something prohibited, you have to believe the same mouth that says, I did something that's permitted.
Is that like amigo?
It's like amigo. It works the same way. In other words, the guy says, you went and took something. What can the guy answer? I don't know what you're talking about, Mac. Finished. You don't have to do anything at that point.
Right.
You're off, you're scot-free. And even if you took the thing, no one can prove it, and you're off the hook. So what did he say? He said, I took a mashkin. Now that's a bad thing. So you can't accept, what are you going to say? What do you say? Well, you took a mashkin, I give it back. Well, he's entitled to keep the mashkin. Really, at the end of the day, he is allowed to keep it. It is his. Well, no, we're gonna accept the part that said you took without permission, but we won't accept the part that it was a mashkin.
Right.
He says, you gotta take my whole word, you don't take any of my word. Because I didn't have to say anything. If witnesses already said something and
there's no witnesses.
You made a claim. I could say I disagree and I just make a shuas hesus and finish. I'm in the clear. But now the fact that I said, so you're gonna believe me that I walked in and took, then you have to believe that I took a mashkin. So I'll make an oath to that fact and then you get it. And that's what he says. V'hol v'hu nishba v'noitel. Since he's going to swear and take, even though it's rabbinic, hareza nishba minikitas chefetz. You're going to take it by holding onto a holy object. Kamo she's bar b'chaston, as we've already learned in other halachas, already that's a stronger type because you're swearing and not having to pay is a lighter rabbinic oath, and swearing and taking is a heavier rabbinic oath, and therefore you have to hold onto something holy when you do this.
The two of us, we use a lot of migos.
Yeah.
How would it be different if the the case?
Well, then, really, the guy's allowed to take it.
he's
still a Goslin, but it's wrong at what he did. So, what are we going to do? Make him give it back, and then he has to give it back to him. I mean,
he owes it to him. Anyway.
He still is a Goslin, but at the end of the day, he's supposed to keep it. Okay, Yud Beis. Now now we're going to get into a new idea, a new concept, and the next couple halachas here. Yud Beis. Ra'u Eidim Shenichnas L'toch Beis Chaver Shalo Bifnei Balabais V'Natol Nishon Kelim. Witnesses see a guy goes to another guy's house. The owner is not in the house at all. He's not in the house at all. He walks in and walks out with some utensils.
And there's witnesses.
Two witnesses seeing this. Aval Pi Shotzi Magulim. And even if the guy does it in broad daylight, it's not under his coat, he's walking straight out holding the object for all to see that he's walking out with an object. Now, what would that seem to indicate if the guy is doing that?
He's a ganav, or he may have permission of the homeowner.
Well, he doesn't. He's not afraid that people will see him because he probably didn't steal it. All right. I mean, we're not getting into all the ganav psychology. You know, now the ganav psychology they come with a truck and do it in broad daylight, and if everything takes up, it's really ganav. But the old fashioned psychology, the good old days is you know, if the guy wants to steal, he doesn't do it in front of everybody's nose. So there will be a pretty good, in not proof, but it's a likelihood that you could say, well, Mestama, he had either permission or took something that was his, because he's not going to go in broad daylight and do this. And let's go one step further. Shabbala Bai says that also Limker's Kelev. It's very normal. The owner sells things from his house.
Yes.
He sells, and this is an item that he sold to 10 other people last week. So, and it could very well be that the guy paid him the money at somewhere and says, you know, go to my house and just pick it up.
Yeah.
So the fact that Abe saw he took something, we're not going to deny he took something, but he clearly could have been doing something. Now this is totally different than Adam hearing the guy, like we learned before, he says, I have a collateral and I'm going to take it without permission and I'm going to act like a Goslin. Or if they see the guy just breaking into the house in the stealth of night or whatever, it's not like that. So now what happens? So now Im Ton, they have to add the words to Bala Bias. If the Bala Bias, the owner, makes the following claim, V'yomar, and he says, Derech Gozel Lekochon, he was out and out a thief.
Yes.
Finished.
Thief.
I see what's in his hand, and I know that's mine. That one that's in his house used to be in my house, and he's a thief. Now he didn't see it, but he's making that claim. Right? Even though he wasn't in the house, but he says, I had a similar thing in my house an hour ago. It's not there. It's exactly that thing, and it's exactly there. So it's not, he's not saying I saw him steal it, but he's still claiming that he did take it. But Halom, or the other guy, the alleged thief, he says, "Bershus Chabas, I came with your permission. You told me a week ago I can come and pick it up.
You sold him.
Ve'atom macharatam li, and now they're sold to me. Oh, Nesarlo, you gave him to me. Oh, b'chov sheyes tefastim, or you had a debt that you owed me, and I'm collecting the debt. Ain't an emma. We don't believe the guy who allegedly stole it.
Whoa.
Why? And here's the golden rule, the new rule that we learn now." Anybody who goes into somebody's house and the guy isn't there, and the homeowner's not there, you take utensils from it, and he takes it in front of witnesses, so we can't deny it. We assume he is a Goslin. Right? Now, on the other hand, if the owner was there, and everything was quiet. You don't hear, hey, what are you doing? This and that. Then if the owner's there and it's quiet, then look, why didn't you say anything?
Yeah.
So if you didn't say anything, we could assume it was fine. But if the owner's not there, right? So the fundamental concept is anything in a person's home is his property and you can't take it from him without some demonstration of proof that you own it, right? So therefore, this is a golden rule. You go into somebody's house and the owner's not there, the general assumption always is you're a Goslin. And especially if there's Adim who have seen this happen. You have to have Adim see this. There's no Adim to see it, then how do we know anything here? But that's the assumption. So now what do we do now? So now what do we do? The guy says, what are you talking about? I was just taking something that's rightfully mine. The guy says, you're stealing from me. So what do we do now based on this principle? Lefikach, therefore, the alleged Goslin, machazir ha-kelim balabais, he has to return the utensils to the homeowner. The ain kanshu, there's no oaths to be made.
He's got
to
eat him.
There's no way. Adim Roman goes. The Adim saw what's going on over here. The homeowner doesn't have to make an oath.
The whole purpose of the oath is now, no
Adim. Now, Achsher, Shiyasser, now when he returns it, now if he wants the alleged Goslin, Choser, he can go back, Vitovei, and claim as Balabais, he can claim from the homeowner, Bechol Mashit and everything he claims, Vadim and him, and now they settle it between themselves. Now the homeowner denies totally the intruder's claim that they're his utensils. So now what would happen? Let's say the owner sticks to his guns. So he has to do what? Make a shvuas hesis, a rabbinic oath, so they don't owe you anything. And that's the end of the story. All right, now we'll take the same case, but instead of two Adim, we take it down to one Aid. Yud Gimel. And if there was only one witness, same thing the owner says, same thing. He took it on broad daylight, the same thing. The owner wasn't there, the whole thing's the same. And the owner says, you took my vessel, my utensil. And the other guy says, no, I bought it. I collected it as a debt. Or it was mine and you were watching it for me. I'm just taking back what was mine. I raise that. So now we got one witness. So he has to give the utensil back, and again, there's no oath made. Right? And the homeowner doesn't even have to support his claim with an oath either. And again, if the ganav has complaints against the baal, afterwards he goes back and makes a separate case. Now, why is this going on over here? So let's turn the page and I'll tell you why. She'ilu, let's figure this all out now. She'ilu ha'yasham shnei, and what would happen if there were two witnesses? Well, ha'yachav ha'sham, he'd have to pay, give it back also. We already learned that. But now, we only have one witness. So chayiv shvuah. So really, who should make an oath here? The alleged Goslin should make a shvuah, right? But what can he? But what's he going to swear? He's not even to swear. He's not contradicting the witness. What did the witness say? You went and you took something. He says, I agree. So what are you going to swear to? You know, you only could swear when you're contradicting the witness. So what are you swearing with? Yeah, it's the same thing. Your oath is to prove that you're honest. How does the oath prove you're honest if you're not going against what the witness said? The witness doesn't know the nature of why you took it, right? Now, this is totally different than, let's say, there were no witnesses and you're coming forth and saying something, then we have to believe you. Then we have that idea of hapesha us or hapesha hitter, where the guy says, listen, you have no witnesses, and you just make a claim, and then I say the opposite. But here it is, one witness is already doing something, so you're not really giving us any more information what the one witness told us. And really, by law, there's nothing to give an oath on, because you're not contradicting the witness. So now what do we have the rule? Really, so you can't make an oath. So we have the principle. Anyone who's obliged to make a shvua, but he can't make a shvua because he's not going against them, mishalmi have to pay. So let's extrapolate. Lefikach, therefore, what if the guy would have said differently? What if he kafar? What if he denied totally? Va'omar lo nichnasti lebeisel lo natalti klum. I didn't go in. I didn't do anything. I never went in. Oh, now he's totally arguing with the one witness.
Okay.
So since only one witness and he contradicts him. Now, Hareza Nishbashua Satoira, he makes a biblical oath, I didn't take anything from your house, Viniftra, and then he's off the hook. Right? So, now, you might say, well, if that's the case, you may ask a question now. Wait, so how about the first time when he said, I agree, but it was mine? Why don't we say he's free from paying? Because he had a migu?
Yeah.
He could have said he denied?
Yeah.
The answer is, Migo won't help when we have a chazaka that assumes you're a Goslin. Remember, when you take something in broad daylight, what do we say? It's a chazaka, you're a Goslin. So the chazaka, the assumption you're a Goslin, a Migo won't work against that. And now Yudal is just a story that's an example of halacha that we said.
So if it wasn't for the chazaka, then the migo would stand out.
The migo would out.
But that's a special chazaka that was established by the rabbis.
When you go and broad down, the guy's not there. It looks and smells like a goslin, even though it might not be, but the majority of cases are. So you lose the migo with that. Only if you actually contradict the aid, then you make a shvus hatayra. Now, Yudal is just an example of the principle that we just said. The story is a guy grabbed a bar of silver from his friend's house, and there was one witness who watched it. And again, the owner wasn't there. And the grabber grabbed, and he said, "Chatafti, I admit I grabbed." Veshali chatafti, and I grabbed what was mine. The rabbis obliged him to return it. Why? Because the one witness would normally oblige him to make an oath. He can't make an oath. Why? He's agreeing to the witness said. There's nothing to give an oath about. But what if there was no witness at all? If then he could make a rabbinic oath and say, I took what was mine. What if there was one witness and he contradicts the witness?
He says, I never took it.
So then, he could swear a biblical oath that he didn't grab. And these are the laws of the Torah, similarly in all situations like this. All right, let's go. We're going to run to finish the parak. Tezvav, you game for another 6, 7, 8 minutes?
Yes.
Okay, now. Let's say there's one witness who saw this guy grab a bunch of gold pieces, gold coins. Right? So there's a witness that says, one witness says, I saw this guy steal gold coins, but I don't know how many he took. He says, I agree. I took, but what I took was mine. And I'll even tell you, I've asked him, there were 20 of them. And let's say the owner, who wasn't there, but says, you know, or maybe was there, he says, you know, I agree. It was 20. I had 20 in the house, right? Afal pi sheino eid yodea kama chotav, even though the witness has not testified how much he took. Hareza mishal mesim, he has to pay the 20. Why? Shrei yoda bavadi shizuvim chotav. What do we know? We know he for sure took. Vilo yishnaim, what if there were two people, two witnesses? Hoyechai mishal, you have to pay. Nimzabeid echats, what comes out with what this is one witness requiring? He has to swear. But can he swear?
No.
He's not arguing with him. And he can't swear. Therefore, he has to pray. Now let's just manipulate the case a little bit. Let's say it like this, that similar case, but it's like this. He says, the grabber says, I did take 20, but they're mine. But the nigzel, now, until now, the nigzel didn't have much to say in the first case. But here, the owner, the guy with sonar says, you know what? Me'achad, you stole 100.
Now we're coming to
it. I see, he took 100, he said, took 20. Behold, the ain't no aid you there, minyanim. But the witness, the one witness doesn't know how much. So what are we going to do now? So, Hare Mishalma Eshim Shahoda Ben Shechatfan. The 20 he admits he has to pay. But what about the other 80? Finish b'shvus hatorah. Now he makes a good old-fashioned moda b'mixvus oath on the rest. Why? Sharei nischai b'mixvus. Since he is obliged to pay for part he has to pay. Now it's a little bit different. He didn't come forward totally on his own. The classic case is there's no witnesses. Just a claim of 100. He says, I only took 50. But here, the witnesses kind of force him to pay the 20. It's not that I came forth, so to speak, from my beloved kindness
but
to do this. He's really saying, I took 20, that was mine. He's not really being moda that I owe. He's moda that I took, but not that I owe.
Right.
But it's the eid echa that now says, I admit that I took, now forces it to mean I admit that I owe, although I didn't admit that I owe. So this is a new insight as to what moda b'mitzvah is. Even though I didn't actually say, I admit I took and stole, he says, I admit I took, but I didn't steal, but the one witness makes it turn into, it de facto you stole the 20. So it renders it still as a case of moda b'mitzvah. However, says the Rambam, the deity knows, but my thinking is, she is Shava Hesses. He would make a rabbinic oath, because it's not actually the classic mode of a
mitzvah.
He didn't actually admit, I stole. Elomer Shalichatav. He said, it's mine. But because of the one witness and he can't swear, he'll have to pay. The classic case of motive mixer says, you owe me 100. I say, no, I only owe you 50. How do we know I owe you the 50? I admit it. Nobody forced me to. I admit I stole. That's the classic case. I admit I owe you. Here, it's not he admitted. He says, I admit it. I took mine. So how, where did he admit he owed? Well, because the one witness is there, he's not allowed to swear.
Where do we go by?
And therefore, case? He has to pay. So I don't know. I don't know how the halacha goes. So Rambam says, to me, either way, it's going to be a shrua. The only question is shrua is a Torah? We're holding on to a safer Torah. Or is it a rabbinic one? So I don't know the psak. Okay, final halacha. Yud Zayin. Nichnas lebeizah shel chaver shelo b'fanav. The guy goes into his friend's house and not in front of him. V'matal nisham kelim b'fnei. He takes a bunch of utensils out and there's one witness watching. V'enayt yudea kamanatal. And the witness doesn't know how much he took. But the Baal Bais comes along and says, listen, Estrim kelim haibes. I had 20 utensils. And that's what you took. V'agoyzlom. And the Gaza says, I only took 10 and they're mine. So what's the case? Similar case, right?
But he's
got to
give back 10.
So, sorry, he has to give back the 10. Because he's obliged to make an oath and he can't swear. He doesn't even have to make an oath on the rest. Why? Because why? The owner cannot issue a definite claim against the robber. In the other case, he definitely said you took 20. He definitely said you took 20. Here, the owner, he's saying there were 20 in my house. But he didn't say, I definitely know that you stole them. He's not being certain. The case before is the owner was certain. You owe me. You took. I know you took. The guy's denying that. Here, the owner says, I don't really know. I just know that I had 20 in my house. I can't really say if anyone took them. So in that case, since there's not that degree of certainty, he doesn't have to, he has to give the 20, the 10 that he admits. But the rest, there isn't really a solid claim. So there's nothing to go against, so he doesn't have to pay the rest. Tomorrow, Mishnah, we'll do the fifth parak, which goes on to a different tangent of, and again, it's going to come back to something we went to the Rambam on Shabbos. We're going to be discussing the idea of not buying from a Goslin, buying hot goods, and things like that, is the fifth parak.